Today we are going into the second, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we started a series, Dion started a series on God and money, and today we are going into the second part, and we're going to look at treasures on earth or in heaven. Now I'm sure most of you can remember either when you were a child or regarding your own children, how there was that very special toy that you really treasured. Can you remember that? Nobody else was allowed to touch it. Nobody else was allowed to play with it. Now, maybe even now there is something in your possession that is very special and you really treasure. Perhaps it was a gift from a special person. Or perhaps there is some sentimental value behind it. Or perhaps you have worked very hard or saved up for it. And of course, all this is quite natural. But what I find interesting is that in these few verses that we're going to look at today, we find Jesus saying, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. But he also said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, was Jesus indicating that we should not have any material possessions and that we must all live like paupers? If not, what then did he mean? What was he getting at? And I want to try and explain this under 4 points this morning. The definition of treasures, the dangers of earthly treasures, the delights of heavenly treasures, and the desire for what treasures. So let's have a look, first of all, at the definition of treasures. I don't know about you, but when someone speaks of treasures, and I think it's going to go up onto the screen. Yes, it is. I don't know about you, but when someone speaks about treasures, I think of pirates and buried treasure on some deserted island. But that is not the definition of treasure. According to the English dictionary, the word treasure means riches, or stored wealth, or valuables. But it can also refer to something or other which belongs to us, which we regard as most precious. For example, we have a clock in our lounge at home which is over 100 years old, and it belonged to my grandfather. So it is something that is precious to us. But when, however, we read of treasure or treasures in the Bible, it usually refers to valuables such as silver or gold, but it can also include rich oriental garments. In other words, something that is worth a lot of money. It also has a wider meaning, and that of a place where something is stored, like a storehouse. So when Jesus referred to treasures on earth, he was referring to any valuable thing which is perishable or can be lost in one way or another. And that brings me on to my second point, the dangers of earthly treasures. Look again at what he says in verse 19. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Now, I don't think that Jesus was condemning all wealth or all rich oriental clothes or material possessions, but rather he was referring to the love of possessing things, whatever they may be. But then Jesus goes on to mention in the second part of verse 19 some of the dangers of pursuing earthly treasures. Look again at 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Well, let's try and put that into a contemporary situation, something that you and I will understand, because that seems a little bit strange the way Jesus put it. But what he in effect is saying is, if we put it into our situation today, well, you know, those expensive designer labeled clothes, any self-respecting moth would just love to get into that. What about our money? Our money is constantly being eaten away by inflation. And rust, well, you live at the coast. You know what rust is all about, how it can corrode metals. But it could also refer to other kinds of decay or destruction. So in principle, Jesus is referring to anything that can perish, anything that can be devalued or be lost in one way or another. Now, I'm sure all of us can identify in some way or another with what Jesus was saying. But what was he in fact wanting to drive home? What he was wanting to drive home was that things on this earth, treasures on earth, are temporary and do not last. That's what he was wanting to drive home. Things on this earth are temporary and do not last. But there was nothing new in this. If you go into the Old Testament, back to the book of Ecclesiastes, there you find that one of the wisest men who lived, King Solomon, pursued various things to find satisfaction in life, like building elaborate palaces and homes, like accumulating wealth. He was the richest person on earth at that time. He enjoyed worldwide fame and power, and all the pleasures that this world could offer him. And yet at the end of it all, this is what he wrote. When I survey all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You see, the bottom line regarding earthly treasures, whatever they may be, is this. They are temporary and they don't last. When our time on earth comes to an end, we can't take them with us. We came into the world with nothing, and we leave this world in the same way. As someone has said, there are no pockets in a shroud. Let me quote to you what Don Carson has to say in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he says, and I think it explains it well. He says, therefore, even if thieves and rust spare my goods for the span of my life, it is futile to store up treasures which have such time-limited value. Now, I remember one scene from the film Titanic. I'm not talking of the later film, but there was an earlier film that came out, which some of you might well remember. I hope you weren't on the Titanic. But I can remember the scene from that film, the Titanic, when it was obvious that the ship was going to sink. The command was given that women and children climb into the few lifeboats that there were. One woman, a socialite, returned to her cabin to get her costly jewelry. And while she was in her cabin getting her costly jewelry, the sea water rushed into the cabin, and she went down with the ship, clutching her jewelry. And this made me think of what Jesus said, as we find recorded in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. What good will it be for a person if they gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? You see, there are basically four principles that apply regarding earthly treasures. First of all, we must not regard treasures on earth as the be-all and the end-all of everything. Secondly, we must not wish for or envy or covet treasures on earth, pursuing them as if that is all that matters. Thirdly, we must not put our hope or confidence in treasures on earth. And fourthly, we must not regard treasures on earth as all we need or desire. Let me again quote to you from Don Carson. And he sums it up like this. He said, Jesus is not prohibiting things, but the love of things. Not money, but love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Jesus forbids us from making mere things our treasure, storing things up as if they had ultimate importance. Now, Jesus has warned us about the dangers of seeking after earthly treasures. But he immediately goes on to tell us about, and this is my third point, the delights of heavenly treasures. Now, as we look at verse 20, I want you to notice how Jesus moves from the negative to the positive, how he contrasts treasures on earth with treasures in heaven. We're going to read verse 19 and 20 again. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Did you notice the contrast? As we have already seen, earthly treasures are susceptible to decay, to theft, and so on. And they don't last forever. Whereas heavenly treasures are not like this. They are forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, we read these words. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and love and serve him, they can count on a storehouse of wonderful surprises because God loves them. And here are just a few. In his great love, God has given us new birth. In other words, being born again, born from above. And if you have accepted Christ into your life as your Savior, you've got it now. New birth. But it goes on. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again and lives forevermore, when we have that new birth, we have the living hope of everlasting life, of being raised with Him forever and ever, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. There's many a time my wife and I say, do we know any rich uncle? Because we might get an inheritance. We're not going to get that on this earth. But we are going to get an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's kept in heaven for you. And God the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God gives His children what is way, way bigger than money and things. But for you and I to obtain these heavenly treasures, it cost God very dearly. Listen to what it cost Him. It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, we cannot buy or earn these heavenly treasures. We have to accept them by faith. Have you? Have you accepted them by faith? And then Jesus ends the short statement about treasures on earth and treasures in heaven with a warning. And that brings me to my fourth and final point. The desire for what treasures? Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When Jesus concluded with this statement, He knew that the things we treasure actually govern our lives. That what we value dominates our minds and our emotions. For example, if a person wants to make a lot of money or live in an upmarket area or gain the next promotion, they will be devoured by these goals. None of these ambitions are in themselves bad. However, as Don Carson puts it, we think about our treasures. We are drawn towards our treasures. As we think about our treasures, we are drawn towards our treasures. We fret about our treasures. We measure other things and even people by our treasures. Now I want you to imagine a large field freshly covered with fallen snow. Perhaps it's hard to imagine here in Scottsboro. But where my daughter stays, it's a common thing at this time of the year. But imagine a field with freshly covered snow. There are no footprints or marks on that field. And you are the first person now to cross that field. If you look down at your feet and you try to cross the field in a straight line, you will be surprised at the erratic pattern you will make. It won't be a straight line. It'll go all over the place. So if you want to cross in a straight line, you need to fix your gaze on a distant object, like a tree, or a rock, or a boulder. And you follow that. And then you will find, as you look back at your footprints, it will be a straight line. Now, this illustration goes to show that we tend to move towards the object on which we fix our gaze. That is why Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. No wonder when writing his letter to the Colossian Christians, the Apostle Paul advised them, and we pick this up in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4, where he said, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? God rewards his children in the life hereafter for the service they have rendered for him here on earth. And this is what Jesus meant by the term laying up treasures in heaven. Just remember, there is only one life, and that life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have to come before you and acknowledge that so often our minds, our thoughts, our time is occupied with the treasures and the things of this earth. We pray that you will forgive us. But we also thank you, Lord, for the treasures you have in store for us in heaven, that one day we will be able to enjoy and be able to share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, amidst all the demands of this life, to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on him, and to focus on things in heaven. And this we ask and pray in his name and for his sake alone. Amen.